Well, again, I want to thank you guys for being here to worship with us this morning. Been looking forward to sharing this message with you. Pastor Mike had his vacation planned for quite some time and had asked me if I would teach today, so I've been praying, and I feel like this is a message that the Lord has given to us as a congregation for such a time as this. I think we would all agree that mountains had great significance in Scripture. Many important events took place on mountaintops, didn't they? They were a place of victory, of protection, of solitude, of learning. And very often, they represented the hardships of life. And it's interesting how we view the mountains in our life. Some view them as an obstacle, something that is in the way, something that must be worked around or avoided, while others view a mountain as an opportunity, something to be scaled or conquered. And here is the truth of the matter. If we choose to go around every mountain or avoid it, we will never experience the mountaintop experiences that God wants us to have. So I want us to think about that as we work our way through today's passage. Do we see mountains in our life as obstacles or opportunities? In today's story, we meet a man who had the right perspective when it came to the mountains in his life. Turn to Joshua chapter 14. If you're not already there, we'll meet in verse 6. But I want to begin by reading the last verse in chapter 11. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. So by the time we reach chapter 14 of Joshua, Israel had been deeply involved in the campaign to claim the promised land. They had engaged the enemy in battle after battle and had experienced some pretty decisive victories. But chapter 13 tells us there's still land to be conquered. However, by this time, Joshua was well advanced in years. And the time has come to divide the land and give each tribe its inheritance. And taking possession of the remaining land is no longer up to all of Israel, but each tribe must go forward and take possession of their own inheritance. If we look at chapters that follow chapter 14, we notice that the distribution of the land was very orderly. The most important tribes are dealt with first, Judah in chapter 15. The tribes of Joseph's descendants, Ephraim and Manasseh in chapter 16 and 17. Then the lands belonging to the remaining tribes are listed in chapters 18 and 19. Well, when the tribe of Judah comes forward, there's an 85-year-old gray-haired man among them, a man named Caleb. Steps forward to claim his inheritance and tells Joshua and the leaders of Israel to give him his mountain. Now, most people wouldn't be too impressed with Caleb. But he is a picture of a man of God who wasn't satisfied with the ordinary. One who wanted all that God could give him. I love his example. You see, God promises us that we can have a life of victory and joy. That we can have those mountaintop experiences. But so often, instead of claiming what is rightfully ours, we choose to live in a spiritual wilderness, defeated, depressed, discouraged. And as a result of that, we miss out on the peace and the joy and the power and the goodness of God. Well, in these verses, we'll discover what it was that enabled this 85-year-old man to possess everything God had promised him. We'll see that Caleb is an example of one who is willing to pay any price, fight any battle, in order to experience all that God had waiting for him. So we're going to talk about some of the characteristics in Caleb's life that enabled him to claim his mountain. And if we want to be able to experience all that the Lord has for us, these same characteristics need to be true in our lives as well. And the first characteristic we notice is that Caleb was committed. Look at verses 6 through 9. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." So Caleb reminds Joshua of when the two of them and 10 other men went to spy out Canaan. Although the spies, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, were afraid, Caleb said, "Let's go get them." As a result of Caleb's commitment, Moses promised him a portion of the land. So the first key to Caleb's success was his commitment, the fact that God had all of Caleb that there was to have. Notice that repeated description of Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord. That means his whole heart was in it. And we notice three marks of Caleb's wholehearted commitment. First of all, he was committed under pressure. Even when the 10 spies spoke against him, he stuck to his convictions, didn't he? In fact, as a result of him standing his ground, the people threatened to stone him. He still stood his ground. Secondly, he was committed under difficulties. Caleb had spent 40 years in the wilderness. And during that time, he had witnessed family members and friends die in the wilderness, yet he remained true to God. Thirdly, Caleb was committed under the shadow of another. Although Caleb had impeccable character, although he had been there from the beginning, although he was a great warrior, he wasn't chosen to lead Israel when Moses retired, was he? Joshua was. But there is no mention of any jealousy or animosity between him and Joshua. In fact, Caleb served faithfully in whatever position God called him to. So is our commitment to God wholehearted? Do we follow Him even when the crowd goes the other way? Even when things become difficult? Even when we must accept our assigned position in life? Are we wholly following Him? That word "wholly" in the Hebrew means to be filled. It's sort of like a sail being filled with all the air that is available so that boat can move swiftly and smoothly across the water. So the picture we get here is that every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber of Caleb's being belonged to God. Which makes sense when we consider 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Paul writes, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So if God has purchased us with the death of His Son, the life of His Son, then we belong to Him, right? Therefore, He deserves our all, doesn't He? You see, to live without total commitment to Christ is sort of like trying to go forward but holding back at the same time. And that doesn't work, does it? It leads to a life of confusion and conflict. James chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So we need to be all in for Jesus. In fact, Jesus demands total surrender. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, He says, "If you want to follow Me, deny yourself. Take up your cross Here's the point. When God puts something in our path that He wants us to conquer or experience, we often look for an escape, don't we? A way around it, a way out, a way back into our ordinary, dull, and boring life. What we need to do is set our minds on the task of following Jesus wherever He leads us. Claiming our mountain, being the person that God saved us to be. You see, half-hearted Christians are faint-hearted Christians. And they will never conquer and experience all that God has in store for them. It all comes down to this one truth. If we, like Caleb, will pursue God with every fiber of our being, we will find ourselves closer to Him than we ever imagined we could be. And we're told in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God and what? He will draw near to you. That means that His peace, His power, His presence, His provision, His mercy, His grace, His guidance, everything He has will be near to us. Now here's something we need to understand. To be wholly committed to Jesus does not mean to be uncommitted to other people or things. In fact, our commitment to other people and things is directly related to our commitment to Christ, isn't it? I'm a firm believer that the more devoted we are to Jesus, the more faithful we will be to our families, our friends, our churches, our careers. Because being committed to Jesus doesn't take away from our commitment to those things. In fact, it strengthens it. It makes us better husbands and wives and parents and sons and daughters and friends. So Caleb was committed. Secondly, Caleb was confident. Take a look at verses 10 through 12. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim, the giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. What was it that gave this 85-year-old man the idea that he could defeat giants? His confidence was in the Word of God, wasn't it? Back in Numbers chapter 14, verses 22 through 24, God had made this promise. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have not put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Very simply, Caleb had confidence that God would do what He said He would do. He believed for it, didn't he? I can see Caleb now climbing that mountain with a sword in one hand, a deed in the other hand, singing at the top of his lungs, "Give me this mountain." Caleb knew God had promised it to him, so he went after it, didn't he? You see, confidence in God is not positive thinking. It is not name it and claim it. It is not optimism. It's not looking on the bright side. It's simply acting on what God says. Taking God at His word and believing that He will do everything He's promised to do. Confidence is more than saying that we believe what God says. It's acting on what God says. You see, it takes faith to win a spiritual victory, doesn't it? In fact, only faith can give us the victory. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. By the way, really and truly, faith is never a blind leap. We may say that it is, but really and truly it is a deep, settled conviction that God will do what He's promised. So how much confidence do we really have in God? Do we believe He'll do what He tells us He will do in Scripture? Can we count on Him? You bet we can. I love this verse from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26. It says, "For the Lord will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from being caught." You ever feel trapped? Feel like you've been held captive? When you try to climb that mountain, your feet get tangled up in the difficulties and the distractions and the discouragements of life. God wants to be your confidence. When you don't have the confidence, He wants to give you the confidence and bring you through and help you climb and conquer that mountain. So Caleb was committed. Caleb was confident. Thirdly, Caleb was courageous. If you will, hold your place in Joshua. Turn over to Numbers chapter 13. In Caleb's life, commitment led to confidence. Confidence led to courage. And we'll notice that Caleb had to be courageous enough to overcome two great obstacles in order to claim his mountain. First, he had to overcome the doubters. Look at verses 30 through 33. This is after the spies returned with their report. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" So in order for Caleb to claim what God had promised, he had to go against the majority, didn't he? The truth is, there will always be someone who says the mountain can't be climbed. It can't be conquered. It's too big. It's too hard. It's not worth it. Brings to mind the disciples when it came time to feed the 5,000 in John chapter 6. "Send the people home," they said. "We don't have enough food or money to buy food," they said. So there will be times when we feel that we're standing alone, when we're facing the impossible. But here's the thing, if we're standing on the Word of God, in the will of God, we're never alone and nothing is impossible, is it? Secondly, he had to overcome the giants. Look over at Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord for fear of the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.'" Here's the thing. All of us have giants in our lives, don't we? Giants of discouragement, distress, doubt, distraction. The giants of physical, financial, emotional, spiritual struggles. They loom large over us. They are intimidating. They can appear to be unconquerable. We really have two options. We can focus on how small we are compared to our giants, or we can focus on how small our giants are compared to God. You see, when we focus on how small we are compared to our giants, that is the outlook of fear and the cowardly. But when we focus on how small our giants are compared to God, that is the outlook of faith and the courageous. Courageous faith looks beyond present circumstances to the provision of the Almighty. The truth is, it takes courage to stand up to the doubters and the giants in our life. But we have the promise that God will always be with us and always be for us. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you." Psalm 27, verse 14, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So as we courageously make our way through this spiritual journey, as we climb our mountains, there will be doubters. There will be giants. But we can be assured of God's presence and power as we face those things. So Caleb was committed. He was confident. He was courageous. Finally, he was a conqueror. Let's go back to Joshua 14. Look at verses 10 through 14. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. It's easy to pick up on the fact that Caleb had a get-or-done attitude, isn't it? He's been in the wilderness. He's now 85 years old, and he's as strong as he's ever been. Caleb knew there was a reason he was still around, didn't he? He knew that God had plans to use him. And because of his commitment, his confidence, his courage, he experienced what God had promised him. He climbed the mountains. He faced the doubters. He defeated the giants. He claimed his possession. In chapter 15, tells us that he drove out the three sons of Anak. He refused to quit until he obtained all that God had promised him. That phrase from verse 12, "Give me this mountain," should be our battle cry today. We must refuse to give up until we're filled up with everything that God wants to give us. So in closing, what about you? What are the mountains in your path? Are you on your way to climbing those mountains, to claiming them? There will be trials for sure. God had a flood for Noah, a fire for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, lion's den for Daniel, a cross for Jesus. But when you think about those things, those trials, there was a victory in the midst of every one of them. And there can be victory for us as well. But here's the thing, it all depends on our perspective, doesn't it? If we don't take the opportunity to conquer the mountains, they will always be obstacles in our life. So the story of Caleb reminds us that although we've been given an inheritance through our faith in Jesus, although we are co-heirs with Him, if we want to experience the full benefits of that inheritance, we must claim our mountain. You see, there's a big difference between a promise and a possession. God promises a place of peace, of power, and victory for us. An abundant life, a meaningful life here on earth. But we must be committed and confident and courageous and have a conquering spirit to claim that possession. Let's pray together. Father God, it has been so